Well, nothing says Christmas like March, does it? I want to do a Christmas message today. And am I in the middle here? Yeah. This way? There we go. Hallelujah. So, yeah, because I got a Christmas message, but it's not December. And I did point that out to God. I thought you can maybe get away with it in July, even, you know, the old Christmas in July sneaky sermon. But Christmas in March? That's what are we doing? And I just want to read that classic. You know, it's when it's Christmas time, you open up and you read the account of Jesus' birth. Is that right? So, okay, now maybe you're new to this whole thing, and so you're like, go for it. I don't know where it is in the Bible anyway. But for those of us been maybe in this thing for a little while, where do we turn? Yeah, you know, at Christmas time, I'm gonna speak to that classic Christmas story, all right? So, you know, there's the old Luke one, you know, classic Luke, who is the historian. He gives the biggest detail. The most detail you get is in the book of Luke. But there's not just Luke, not Luke. There's also Matthew's account, where you have Matthew gives us the account of the Magi coming and Herod finding out about it. And, you know, this is great because when you go, anyone done the road to Bethlehem, which is sort of up in, where is it, Ringwood? No. People say Bethlehem, but yeah, I know. There's a school that they put this on every year, Seventh-day Adventist school up in Ringwood area. Lilydale area, sort of out that sort of way, eastern suburbs of Melbourne. And they walk you through, and they've got all these scenes. They've got people dressed up as Roman soldiers, and they've got the stable, and they've angels. And if you do it when it's dark, they've got all lighting and everything, so you sort of forget where you are. And they always have the great scene where you go to Herod because you're following the Magi, and they tell Herod, and he's like, this is wonderful. A king, you say? Go find out where he is and I'll worship him. And he always says, worship him in a really sneaky way. And you tell the kids, he doesn't really want to worship him. He wants to what? Kill him. And so they go away. And but they don't do the next part of the story. They don't, you know, because when he finds out the Magi have been warned by an angel not to go back and not to tell him. He finds out where the baby is, is born, is in Bethlehem, and he found out the time, so he knew the baby was under 2 years of age. And thankfully, the Lord warned Joseph in a dream, and he took Mary and the baby down to Egypt and escaped. But Herod was so fixated, he didn't know that he sent soldiers to kill every child under 2 years of age. They don't do that in the Bethlehem story, all right? That's all right. You don't get that scene. How many know you got to fix it up a little bit when you're doing it family friendly? So anyway, that you get that in Matthew's account, and Luke's account. But no, we're actually going to read it from that classic Christmas story, that, you know, Christmas cards, Christmas, you just always see it. You know where? Revelation chapter 12, the classic Christmas story. You all know that. Okay, so turn with me to Revelation chapter 12, and we're going to do Christmas in March. Because, hey, I don't think Revelation was given at Christmas time. I think Revelation was given not just for a Christmas story, it was given to the seven churches, because they were under pressure. There's a word gets thrown around a lot when you're talking about the Bible in the book of Revelation called tribulation. When they talk about tribulation, everyone shakes. Tribulation. Are we going through the great tribulation? Jesus going to come post, pre, mid, trib, and all the rest? I remember once seeing a comic, you know, because in the 70s and 80s, when I was in church, that was a big discussion. When was Jesus going to come back? Was it pre-tribulation? mid-tribulation or post-tribulation, after tribulation. And so I remember seeing a comic, and there's a guy there, and he's in a room full of people drinking coffee, and they're chatting, and it's the pastor's get-together. And he's welcoming in a brand new pastor, and he goes, that's Smith over there, he's pre-trib. That's Jones, he's mid-trib. And, Henriksen over there, he's post-trib. And see that guy with a silly smile on his face? He doesn't care. He's just enjoying life anyway, And so sometimes, it's all about, are we going to get out of here before the tribulation? And you need to go back and watch some of our academy where we've been taking time to actually dig through this. Because the word tribulation just means pressing. It means squeezing. It means like what you do to a grape, squeeze it. It means putting something under pressure. And so what we, and that's not just something that happens in Revelation. Because, you've never been under pressure. You've never found it. There's no pressure in serving Jesus until the book of Revelation kicks in. Is that right? We just live pressure-free because we're not anywhere near the end times. And people say, well, we must be in the end times because we're under pressure. No, pressure is what Christians experience. But pressure doesn't, but sometimes pressure can be like suffering and hurt and pain. No, it's pressure. But Jesus talked about pressure. He said, that the weeds come in and they want to squeeze you, but they don't have to. There can be pressure, but there doesn't have to be pressure that gets through. And so the seven churches in Revelation, they were being pressured. They were being squeezed and there was pressure. And so the Lord said, I want to show them, and that's what when it says the Revelation, chapter 1, verse 1, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That word revelation is from the Greek word apocalypsis. It means to from from the word a veil or a cover. If I put a blanket over this and then I went like that, I would be doing an apocalyptic thing. I would be revealing to you. That's all it means. It means an unveiling, a showing you stuff. I'm taking the veil off your eyes and showing you what's to come. I'm going to show you things. And some people have thought, and you need to go back and watch Academy to get the full detail of all this sort of stuff, that it's only about the end time events and the seven. It covers way more than that, and it's much more relevant than, if I'm not part of that. It's so relevant to today. And right in the middle, right sort of Revelation chapter 12, you hit an amazing series of revelations and unveilings. And this is when the key characters are revealed. This is like, read. I want to read through Book of Revelation one time, and maybe we can do this. A public reading of the Book of Revelation. maybe David could do it. But it's not going to be your normal reading, all right? If I'm thinking it, it's not normal. Okay. Do you remember in the olden days they used to do sort of plays and that. And whenever the bad characters come on, they go, boo! But when the hero come in, yay! Well, I want to do the Book of Revelation, where we cheer everybody that's on our side and boo everybody that's on the other side. And when everybody on the other side gets their comeuppance, we cheer. And when, you know what I mean? Because that's really what there's a lot of, it's like characters are being revealed, but they're all personal to us. You know, that's like on that play, it's like he's not just a person on the stage. He's a bad guy, and I'm booing him because I don't like what he is. And there's the good guy who's going to rescue everybody. I cheer him because I relate to him and I like him. And I wouldn't mind doing a Book of Revelation reading because I think that's how you actually meant to read it. You're meant to read it cheering on the good guys and booing the bad guys because you're part of the good guys. It's your team that you're cheering. And so when people are revealed and when characters are revealed, we go, yay! And when the, ooh. So Revelation chapter 12 is like the beginning of this revelation of the characters. Lots of characters start turning up in chapter 12. They're mentioned very briefly. A lot of people think, the Bible's all about the beast and the Bible's all about the mark of the beast and the Bible's all about... Well, one time I think it refers to the mark of the beast, maybe twice. But about four or five times it talks about the mark of God on his people. Way more mention about another mark. Most people don't even know it's in there. And the beast, it's all about the beast. It's all about the... He doesn't really turn up until chapter 12, 13. He gets a mention, once, I think, but it's not about him. This is not his story. This is not the beast's story. You know who turns up first? The Lamb. God seated on the throne and the 24 elders, and they say, who's going to release the seven seals? And they say, who? And they said, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And I turned, and there was a lamb who had been was slain. He's the hero. And he turns up right at the beginning. You know, the devil doesn't turn up for another 10, eight chapters or something like that. So sometimes we get them out of kilter. That's why the cheering and the booing I want to do, because I want you to realize who the characters are and who gets the attention. I want you to see, hey, I thought this was all about him. No, it's all about him. And he's at the start, and it starts with, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, and he tells you all about him. And then he does a message to the seven churches, and Revelation chapter 4, we're in heaven and we're seeing him. And chapter 5, we're all worshiping him. And then you have, some seals, and not seals, broken seals off a scroll that reveal it. And then you have, trumpets, and things are happening on the earth, and you have then bowls of plagues. And a lot of stuff happens in Revelation. And we could cheer our way all the way through that, all right? And but, there's a part where we see the beast, and we see the dragon, and we see the Antichrist and all these things. In fact, I don't think the word Antichrist actually appears in the book of Revelation. You have to go to Thessalonians and John to get those things. A lot of people think it's all about the Antichrist. Well, he's not really even called the Antichrist in Revelation. But we think that's what it's all about. It's not. And then they end up in the lake of fire, and then we're talking about the New Jerusalem, and it's amazing. That's why I want to do a cheer and a boo, just to put things in perspective. What it's about and how exciting it is and what it relates to us. But right at the start is this amazing story. And guess what? It starts with the Christmas story. Who would have thought Revelation started with the Christmas story? You're all looking at me like, no. You got confused with Luke. And the manger and the shepherds. No, Revelation chapter 12 is story right for us. But it's a Christmas story for everyone who's under pressure. Okay? It's the Christmas story for everyone who's under pressure, because it tells us something, not just about the pressure and what happened to Jesus, but suddenly we realize it's all about us and what's happening to us. So that's why it's so important. So let's look at Revelation chapter 12, and let me read to you the Christmas story. And parents, take note, next December, gather the kids and the grandkids around, open the Bible, and begin to read to them the story of Christmas. You say, kids, in chapter 12, verse 1 of Revelation, it said, a great sign appeared. Okay, let me just put my teaching hat back on for a second. This is the first time, sign. Okay, we've had the scrolls and the teaching and everything like this. Now, these are signs, which means there's things here that are going to be very symbolic. Don't take things too literal. If it says it's something very literal, you have to imagine. It's very hard to imagine that it actually will be literal, because these things are so symbolic. There are literal things connected with it, but don't see things happening here in that literal sense. So a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. So just imagine that. Yay! Yeah, some people are like, do I cheer for her or not? Because, you might be cheering for the woman of Babylon for all you know. And you're like, David could have been like, that was a mistake, He read ahead and said, I think she's okay, I think, you've got to be careful about the women, who you choose. Because there's a couple of women in the book of Revelation, and we want to make sure you cheer for the right one. All right? But I'll tell you, you're okay. You're safe. And it's interesting, that word we had from Winston, night, she had the sun and the moon, which means day and night is under. This is not just when everything's bright day. This is the sun and moon and stars meant the whole of life, okay? Everything. And stars refer to angelic hosts and moon under her feet. So she's pretty cool. And she was, that's a theological term. And she was with child. And she cried out being in labor and pain to give birth. Now, I used to read this and just not really have much of a clue what was happening, because I thought everything in the book of Revelation was going to happen in the last 7 years before or after, during Jesus coming again. I thought it was just a snapshot of those 7 years and everything. No, Revelation is an unveiling of the heavens and the big plan of God, and it includes those 7 years and all the things, but it also refers to what has happened to bring us to that place and what happens after that place. Do you know what I mean? So I'm like, who is this strange woman? And being in labor and giving pain and giving birth. Okay, so just so we can read it with a bit of understanding, it's not Mary. Because, you know, it's the first thing. That's the only woman I know in the Bible. But it refers not to a literal Mary, but to what Mary represented. Mary was representative of God's plan to bring through a people his Messiah into the earth. Okay? So women often referred to things bigger than actual a woman. That's why, you know, Jerusalem comes down, it's a city, and it says, she's the bride. And we are the bride of Christ. We are actually part of the woman that is part of God's plan and purpose. And there's another woman, like I said, the woman, the whore of Babylon, she's the opposite. She's everything, but not a particular person or woman, or not even a particular city, I don't believe. I just believe it's representative of the whole system, represented by what the enemy's plans are. But this woman represents God. Now, we know that there was a woman called Mary who this actually came to the pointy end to happen. But she represents God's woman in the earth, his plan to bring out the Messiah. So I believe it talks about, because it talks about 12 stars, you know, so the 12 governance always, then it goes back to the children of Israel. All right, but whenever 12 is mentioned, it always you say, well, that's the children of Israel, but then you see 12 apostles. There's always an overlap between God's people in the old covenant became God's people now in the new covenant. We have been grafted into that people, and now we are the people of God. And what you'll find here is this woman changes. Well, you know, it's sort of initially it's the old covenant, but eventually, then it becomes the new covenant people. She just moves. She's the people. She's the woman of God for the hour that is God's representative. Okay? So at one point you'll say, that's old covenant. Then people do, they argue, that's Mary. It's not Mary. When it's a sign and a symbol, it can be a whole lot of things. But if you... just take it. Just say it's we're doing Christmas here. Someone ringing up to tell you it's in March, you moron. That's okay. We understand. And she was with child, verse 2, and she cried out, being in labor and giving pain to give birth. Why am I saying we've got to know who this woman is? Because it represents the old covenant, but morphing into the new covenant. And oh, I'm part of the new covenant. You're part of this new covenant. You actually, that's your roots. This woman is you before. Now you're the woman now. Do you understand? So we're not just watching and listening to a Christmas story. We're not just cheering her on. We're cheering us eventually, ultimately. Okay? What happens to her happens to us. All right, so this is why it was given to the seven churches, these signs and everything to open their understanding, because this was meant to impact them. They were to see themselves through these stories and where they fit into the whole big picture. And so another sign appeared in heaven. It's a boo, if you want. David, give us a boo. Yeah. I thought you read ahead. Okay. Yeah, okay, yeah, true. Another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having seven heads. Boo. Yeah, Yeah, if it's a dragon, just boo him, all right? 10 horns, boo. And on his heads were 7 diadems, boo. 7 diadems, it means a kingly crown. It's not just a crown, it's a king's crown. He's ruling and reigning. Boo, you think you're the king. Boo, he's got king stuff all over. He thinks he's 10 rulership. Boo. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven, talking about the heavenly hosts. That's what my guess is, you know. I don't lock too deeply into these things because as soon as you lock into Revelation, you get it wrong, all right? But if you can just get the bigger picture, you're working okay. 7 stars. That's probably, you know, it's the devil taking his third of the angels, fallen angels with him. That's how I see it. Threw them to earth, and the dragon stood before the woman. All right? Face off. He's looking at this woman. He's just, oh, you're amazing. No. Stood before the woman who was about to give birth so that when she gave birth, he may devour her child. Ooh, yeah. And at this point, the grandkids' eyes should be like this, you know. The dragon's waiting to eat the baby Jesus. That's all right. Let's all imagine. Chomp, chomp, chomp. He wants to eat the baby Jesus. See him in the manger? Just imagine that big. Oh, he's got 7 heads. 7 heads want to chomp, chomp, chomp. Verse 5. She gave birth to a son, a male. Yeah! He didn't want this. The devil didn't want this. The devil did. The dragon, we say, it's only called the dragon, but he does actually say later on that the dragon is the devil. So we actually know that for sure. But he didn't want it. But she gave birth to a son, a male, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. Yeah! Now, this is symbolic. The rod of iron, I've mentioned this. You go back to last week's message. Go back to weeks before. This rod of iron is so significant. You know it's always the Messiah because he's carrying the rod of iron. Later, when he's coming on the white horse and issuing judgment, he's got the rod of iron. It's his, from Psalm 2, it's his authority being given to the Father to what? To take all of the nations and bring them to himself. Is that right? That's the authority to get all the nations so he can get a tribe, people from every tribe and tongue, a people, Lord, and he's going to purchase them with his own blood so they can be a kingdom of priests to his Father. That's because he's got that iron rod. Now, when it says rule, I was sort of thinking, this is to smash the enemy. You know what I mean? Because that's what he does with it. He rules. But, oh, I missed something. The rod of iron is not just to smash the enemies. It's to enable him to rule a people. And the word to rule here is not your normal Greek word for rule. It's actually the Greek word to be a shepherd. It is literally, it's a word whenever, you know there were shepherds in the nativity story, don't we? The shepherds came. That's exactly the same word that is here. So, and my margin actually says, well, this is really the word shepherd, but in this context we're saying rule because shepherd doesn't sound strong enough. Does it make sense? It's like, oh, I've got to say a stronger word like rule. But really it's shepherd. And nations is really the word for the Gentiles. So let's just read this back a little bit with the knowledge of what he's going to do. He says, because the dragon, he wants to eat the baby because the baby's going to come with the rod of iron and he's going to shepherd the Gentiles. He's going to shepherd the Gentiles. And the dragon don't like that. So he says, I'll eat the baby. And but the baby, the child, was caught up to God and to his throne. In other words, no. Yay! I just want you to take note of every time the devil comes up with a plan, it doesn't work. Every time the devil comes up, I'm going to destroy this baby, doesn't work. Now, in the book of Matthew, this story is all about Herod. You see in Revelation 12, Herod's nowhere around. That's because it wasn't really about Herod. It wasn't Herod, it was the dragon. And they would know the story of Herod, but now they're getting the unveiling. God's like, it's nothing to do with Herod. It's to do with the dragon. And there's a lesson in that, because you're going through your own pressing. And if you get unveiled from the heaven perspective, whatever you're facing, it's not about them. You understand that? Their name won't even mention in heaven. It'll just be about the enemy, the devil, the dragon, what he's trying to do. He's trying to ruin it. He's trying to undo you. He's trying to bring you down. He's trying to ruin the plans of God. See, so in heaven's perspective, it's just the dragon. That's why you got to know the main players. That's why it wasn't about Mary, it was about the woman. Us, the body of Christ, the church that's coming through. So let's keep reading. So yeah, we've got one. We've got number one, the dragon's got a plan and nope, he's gone. He's gone. Ha! Maybe we should have a third one, because this was from Psalm 2. You also get the laugh track, the laugh. You know when they put up the sign, laugh now. All right, so you ready for the laugh track? Okay, when I put up my right hand, that is the laugh track. All right, because Psalm 2 says God laughed at the foolishness of their plan. So this is a good thing to do. So when she gave birth, he was still there to devour her child. But when she gave birth to the son, he was caught up to God, to his throne. Missed him! You had a plan. He's gone! And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God so that she might be nourished for 1,260 days. Listen to Academy to get that stuff, right? I'm not going to get sidetracked. There was a war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough. Hear it said? They were not, this is talking about the dragon, they were not strong enough. and there was no longer place found for them in heaven. You're gone, man. And the great dragon was thrown down. I'm the only one laughing. Come on, people, just do the joke. Come on, you see the hand going up. The serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. And he was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Hey! And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ has come. For the accuser, yay! For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. Who accuses them before our God day and night. And they, see, now we've morphed into us. Is that right? We're on this side. And now it's not just what's happening up there and Michael and the angels. They have overcome him. Hang on a second. We haven't been mentioned up until now. Yes, we're part of this. We're a part of the whole story. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life, even the death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea. Oh, hang on a second. Woe to the earth and the sea. Now you're not sure what to do with this one. Because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has a short time. Hang on a second. He got kicked out of heaven, didn't he? He came down. And heaven's excited. Excuse me. I'm still on earth. You get that? Whoa. He's been kicked down to us. Oh, boy. First thing we have to remember is, and they overcame him. Because he's down here, we have to do some overcoming. Whoa. And he has great wrath, known his own short time. He is, you know the hornet nest that someone's knocked off and then thrown into your bedroom? Problem solved for them. But he's down on the earth, mad as anything, looking for revenge. And he can't get to the sun. So who's he going to go for? The woman. Couldn't get the boy. I'll get the woman. I'm not sure what to do about this. How we're cheering. When the dragon, verse 13, saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the child. The devil hates us. The devil hates us. Boo to the devil. But hang on a sec. The devil hates us. Good on you, devil. Hate us all you want. Why can I say that? Because, and the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman in order that she might fly into the wilderness to a place where she was nourished for a time and times and half a time, again, from the presence of the serpent. I know you're mad with me, but I got these eagle wing things. Bye. And the serpent, okay, like a, the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman. I'll flood her. I'll drown her. So that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river. Nice try, devil. All the water's gone. And the dragon was enraged with the woman. He is mad with us. We got eagle's wings. We got things happening. And went off to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep commandments of God and hold to the testimony. He just, I'll try something else. All right? You know when Herod tried to kill Jesus? That's our story. We're a part of that. He didn't kill Jesus. He couldn't stop that. And he can't stop us. He hates us like he hates Jesus. He hates Jesus first, but he can't get to Jesus. Now he hates us. For a time. But they overcame him. Not because they were big and strong and mighty. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Our Lamb's sacrifice has given us the victory. And the word of their testimony. They linked up their allegiance to him. All right? This is a parallel to the mark of the name of God being put on their forehead, belonging to God. They signed up and said, we belong to God. We are Jesus's. We're his. We belong to him. And they did not love their life even to their death. You can go and listen to last week's Academy, but we delve into this a little bit because that's our laugh factor. I'm going to kill you. I'm already dead. I died when I lost my life when I gave it to Jesus. You know what I mean? It's like, duh. Now, I remember years ago hearing a man who went into the Russian. He did the praise. Terry Law. If you ever can get some of his old testimonies when he went into the Russian. He went into Poland when it was under communist control. He had a group called Living Waters. Isn't it good to have a wife on the front row? It's coming to me now. Living Waters, Terry Law. My memory is just so good. As long as she's there. All right? And Craig, yeah, she's like, she could be on the phone. No, she was doing that all from memory, so she's good. And anyway, Living Waters, they were in America as a missions group. They'd go and they just use praise and worship to open the gospel. So that was just powerful. And a church group in Poland, in the communist Poland, invited them to come in to do a conference with them. So they were pretty excited. You know, I was a bit nervous going into the. When they got in, they found out two mistakes had made. Just two little mistakes. Number one, the people who hired them didn't know they were a Christian group, thought they were an American rock band. So I thought they were just going to get, you know, American rock and roll in the middle of coming. The second mistake was they weren't a Christian organization. It was the Communist Youth Party had booked them. So, you know, little adventures like that. So that is, what do we do? Just do what we do. Let's praise God and let the presence and glory of God. Anyway, he got dragged down. I'm not sure from that event or another event. He got dragged down and taken into an interrogation room. And in there, He called on his rights according to the Russian constitution and quoted it. Because there actually, even in the communist constitution, there was particular rights that no one had been using, but they were there. And he called upon them and called their attention to them. But the most amazing thing was he'd never read the Russian constitution, and it was just only a word of knowledge that it came out. He just got in there and began to quote it to them. He said it confused them. They went off and they're like, what do we do about this? And so they let them go. Yeah, so thank God. But he went into Russia other times, and he was then they were going into a place to minister, and they had a translator who was a born-again Christian, full-on, and to do the translation and doing the word, speaking and stuff. And they were going to a place, and Terry went to this translator and said, you know what, where we're going is actually very dangerous. He said, you know, and you're a Russian. We come, we go, we fly back to America. We have, you know, some protection through the American consulate and all that stuff. But you're a Russian here. This could be death to you. And he said, Terry, when I gave my life to Jesus 10 years ago, I already died. He said, I'm dead already. Let's just go. That's an amazing attitude, isn't it? Because by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives. That's just who we are and what we do. I would love to expand that and take it, but it's not for now. Maybe another time. But keep the enemy. I just want you to see the big picture. The dragon kept coming. The dragon kept missing. The dragon kept coming. The dragon kept missing. The dragon kept coming. The dragon kept missing. And then you just sort of, we'll just skip ahead a little bit to chapter 17, verse 14. These will wage war against the Lamb, the beast and the dragon's followers. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them because he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. It's not equal. They'll wage war, but he will overcome them because you know what? He's the King of all kings. He's the Lord of all lords. You know, he's the Lamb that was slain. When he comes on the white horse, his robe is already dipped in blood. He's the only one that goes into battle with already having done the bleeding. You know what I mean? This is not bleeding after the battle. This is bleeding. He sheds his blood because he did not love his life even to his own death. He loved you to his own death. All right? And we're called to have the same attitude as Jesus. And so he loved. He went in and he had conquered. He'd already purchased. He'd been given that iron scepter. He had been given he's got the authority, he's got the rule. And so he defeats them. But it says, let's just listen. Read this again. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them because he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful. I'm with him. That's why Revelation was written, so the churches could say, I'm with him. I'm with him. And they could realize that just like Herod, it was not about Herod, it was about the dragon. And just like the dragon's gone after the church, it's not the Romans, it's not Nero. See, people say, who's the beast? You know, who's the Antichrist and all the rest? And you can make, you know, they thought it was Nero, they thought it was this person. You know, when I was growing up, they thought it was some statesman from America. I won't recall his name. Probably good I don't, because I'll just, you know, go Google him and realize it's not him. But I was growing up, Henry Kissinger. There I go. Yeah. Did anyone hear that Henry Kissinger was the possible Antichrist? Yeah, Judith, like, that was, find his name. He's like, who's Henry Kissinger? Well, nobody now. Who cares? You know, it wasn't him. I'm saying, because just like it really wasn't Herod. It doesn't matter whether it was Nero or Henry Kissinger. It will be someone in the future. But it's not him. It's not them. It's the dragon. And we understand what was happening. We see it happen when Jesus was born. Now we see him mad as eggs with the church. But we've the same way as Jesus wasn't stopped from his purpose, same way that Jesus was protected, it says the church, every time the eagle wings will pop them over here. Oh, spew forth water. Oh, just open up the earth. You know, what is this? The dragon must be so upset. Why? And you know what our answer is? I'm with him, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. Amen. I'm with him. My job is to be called, done, chosen, done, and faithful.
Amen.
Amen. That's our job. Stay faithful. Keep our testimony faithful. Just stay on track. Just line up. So that's why I felt to speak Christmas. Because it's a Christmas story for the... I don't think even just for March. I think it's because God knew... You know, you saw it during the first part of a service, through what the prophetic words and everything. God says, you're going under pressure, let me tell you the Christmas story. You're under pressure, let me tell you the Christmas story. Yeah, you've got a devil against you. You better recognize that, but you better know even more how we can laugh at him, because I'm the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. I'm with him. I'm with him. I'm with him. And I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word confession of my testimony. And I don't love my life even to death. I've given up on this life. I've embraced God. That's why I'm able to flourish in this life. You know, the Bible talks about us. You know, it says, you know, you've got to die to self. But that's not a full stop. So that you can receive his life. It's an exchange. So that we can enjoy his life. He's the good shepherd. Hallelujah. We're going to leave it there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you get up on your feet? Hallelujah. And why don't you say, I'm with him. I'm with him. I'm with him. Hallelujah, I'm with him. Yeah, hallelujah. I'm reading my story in advance in Jesus' name. I'm reading my, and you can go on to read the end where they go to the lake of fire and we go, and now there's a new picture of us. It says, we are the bride of Christ. It said, I saw a city and it was the bride of Christ. And then it is a place of light, no darkness, no sun, no moon, no need. No, because he says, Jesus now is the light. And there's living waters there and I can be refreshed to these waters and there's all this stuff happening. And said, that's my future. But I don't have to wait to then to get the victory and to live in that. I'm experiencing it now. That's under this pressure. Even if it's not the great pressure, I still live the principles under this pressure. I've got my pressures. You've got your pressures. The enemy's trying to squeeze you. But we just say, hang on a sec. King of all kings, Lord of all lords. You couldn't get him in terms of you couldn't get Jesus and you can't get us. Did you know that? You know, that's the lesson. You couldn't get Jesus. Can't get us because we are overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we don't love our lives even to death. That's the only access you had to us is if we love our lives more than we love Jesus. But we don't, so you can't get access to us. We're on his side. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, Caitlin. Come on.
Amen. Can you give God a shout of praise? Woo! Amen. We're on his side. We're on his side in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? I'm just going to pray, but I'm also going to give you an opportunity. Maybe you're in this room, maybe you're online, and you're saying, you know what? That sounds really good, but I'm actually not on his side yet. Yet being the key word. Today is your moment right now that you can say, this is my moment to be on the side with Jesus, to be with that boy that came to save the world and came and defeated death on the cross, brought victory for us for now and forevermore. I want to be with him. I want to be on God's side. If this is your moment, I'm going to say a prayer and I invite you to pray this with me and say that it'll be the best decision you can ever make to say, Jesus, I'm surrendering my life to you. So I'm going to say a prayer, and if you would like to pray that, I invite you to say it after me. And if you've prayed that before, I invite you to pray it with me right now so we can all be saying it together. As one as a church. So we say, thank you, Jesus, for coming to earth and dying on the cross for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying for my sins. Lord, come and cleanse me. Make me whole in you. Jesus, I declare you as my Lord for now and forevermore. I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Give him a shout of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I pray right now, Lord, I thank you, God, for every person that might have said that for the first time. Lord, I thank you, God, that their future is now in you. Lord, and we celebrate with you as all of heaven is celebrating right now. We bless them into this journey in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you did say that for the first time, or if you said that and you hadn't, you know, you might have walked away before and this was a moment where you recommitted your life to Christ, we are welcoming with you. All of heaven is rejoicing right now. If you're in the room, please come and speak to one of our pastors after service. We'd love to give you a little gift to help you on this journey. If you're online, please say, get connected on our website, and we would love to reach out and say, how can we help you? How can we connect with you on this journey? In Jesus' name, amen.